With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. Do I have everybody's attention now?
This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally, The Rock has come back home.
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, then he's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn deniable.
And everything in between.
Super Kick Hot Tag!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
A very important message from the desk of the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Last week's episode, I, Monday Night Mike, was away, and slander was being thrown around. I believe the terms fired, banned, I was called a bitch at one point. None of this will stand. As you should know, Scotty Villa, still banned. The ban is still in place. It is looking to be a lifetime ban at this point because the man refuses to eat Marmite and will not stop talking about. You can just bleep that. They'll know. Going to have a lot of editing to do on tonight's podcast. So just be aware. Me and UK Tom have made up. So there is nothing happening with him. He is still in charge with me. Of creative of the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. So yeah, Scotty Villa still banned. Ultimately the most banned bitch in the history of the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. But don't worry. UK Tom and myself have planned a lovely show this week. So without further ado, I am Monday Night Mike, and of course joined by UK Tom and everybody's favorite banned bitch, Scotty Villa.
I like the fact that Scott's getting the heat, and I think it was me that called you a bitch.
He called you every name. I didn't say shit other than you had a girl's job and you were babysitting. I didn't say shit.
Listen, me and Tom made up. You, on the other hand, are the blood feud continues.
Christ. He's the one that said you were a bitch at the end of the episode.
Listen, you a lot of talking. We have a great episode planned.
Fuck's sake.
Didn't think I was coming in with that, did you? Scotty Villa is loved. still very much so banned. Which is wild, because anyone listening, they're like, but what is he banned from? He's still active in the group chat.
Every fucking thing.
We told him today he'd be banned from getting pizza at an establishment in this city. No control over that.
Oh, I do. I can go stand there at a lunchtime.
You really so
now
can.
Now everyone is just thinking, what does a ban mean on the In My House Pro Wrestling podcast? Apparently nothing.
Not much.
Yeah. But professional wrestling. Scotty Villa, take it away.
Thanks. Bury me and then be like, here, please lead this show.
That's usually what happens.
Yeah, you'll do what you're told.
Or you'll get banned.
Oh, fucking pop. Yeah, we've got a nice little show lined up for you guys. I was under the understanding that Survivor Series is in like a week, and it's not till the end of the month. We're really like at the 12th or 13th of November here, so we still got a couple weeks to go. So I was getting all fired up, like, boom, we're gonna be making our picks soon. I was getting excited, actually. So guys, put this in the back of your heads a little bit. Our year-end awards are going to be coming up here in about 6 weeks or so, around there. So start thinking about that. Yeah, there we go. So start thinking about that. I actually brought home my notebooks from work that have our picks from throughout the year, from the Rumble on every pay-per-view that we chose to cover. So Booker of the Year will be decided as well. I do want to include Saturday night's main event, which is coming up early December. I think it's December 14th. I know it's on a pay-per-view.
That's a pay-per-view. It's on the pay-per-view schedule.
Okay. Then I want to include that one. Then after that, that's where we're cutting it off.
Okay.
We all know I'm going to win.
I don't really
know.
Yeah, pretty rough go there for a little bit if I'm looking at the Crown Jewel card.
You are the worst at picking WWE.
Well, that's
just the worst.
You know, I realized something after we finished recording last week. Mm-hmm. I never clarified when we started this whether I was picking what I thought WWE would do.
Oh, it doesn't matter. So what you were saying is you were picking with your heart.
That's
a Scotty Villa specialty.
I do that all the time. It's a Scotty Villa special.
I would never say that.
But... Double cheeseburger with chicken fries on it.
Wait, chicken fries on the burger.
That's
chicken
right.
fries, three chicken fries on a BK double cheeseburger with no pickles. Yeah. Every time you do it, you
gotta
ask
be
fresh. For
fresh
gotta chicken
be fresh.
Fries, and you're gonna they're gonna ask you to move up and park ahead, and then they'll bring them out to you. It's worth it every time. Scotty V is special. You're welcome.
I don't approve of this at all.
So you know how the Big Mac, they put out like a chicken burger version of the Big Mac recently. I said, what are you guys doing? Give me one beef patty, one chicken patty. Do that.
Oh, wow.
That's a Big Mac Scotty Villa special if I've ever seen one. But
you would never order a Big Mac.
Never had one in my life.
Yeah. Me neither.
Too much stuff on it. Too much stuff.
I don't want shit on my burger. I want burger and I want cheese.
It is criminal how you eat some things, UK Tom. Like, you're there. You're just there on the line of like hovering bland brother and normal member of society. And then you go and say stupid shit like that.
This brings him back. This brings him back into being a bland brother.
That might be a fun little section of a podcast in the future. Like, Mike throws food at us, like food suggestions, and we're just like, nope. Or
I mean, you are going to give some yeses. I know Scotty Villa's nose. Like, I know. Like, I'd read it and I'd be like, I don't even know why I'm reading it. I know the answer is no.
Anyway, apparently we're here to talk about wrestling.
That's right. Yeah.
I guess. So I do want to get it. Go ahead.
I just wanted to remind everybody before I forgot again that CWE is in Regina next week. If you haven't bought your tickets yet, why not? Come see the show. We're going to have Juventud with us. That's going to be great fun.
Juventud Guerrero is on that show, and I'm very excited about it. The closer we get, which, by the way, I'm not going to lie, I thought it was today, but it's next week. I'm very, very excited for the show. A little live pro wrestling in our hometown here in the Queen City. So very stoked for that. So definitely go get your tickets for CWE. Go see Juventud Guerrero, he was a member of the LWO. He was a Mexicool. He's
he wasn't
He's a multi-time champion in WWE, in WCW. He was an ECW talent. Dude's worked all over the world. So very excited for this.
Fun fact, he was also in the first match of the first show I ever went to.
Ooh, really? What was the company?
It was called World Wrestling All-Stars. And they did a few shows in England and some in Australia with some huge names. Like the main event of that show was Sting and Nathan Jones versus Jeff Jarrett and Scott Steiner.
Wow.
But the opening match, and this is why I was so psyched when he came to Regina, was Shark Boy versus Frankie Kazarian versus Juventude.
Nice. It's a hell of a triple threat. Hell of a triple threat.
Anyway, current wrestling.
Current wrestling. We're going to get into SmackDown this week. A lot of events went down on SmackDown this past week. And one of the ones that kind of took the internet by storm was a wrestling move. It was one wrestling move that in the WWE we haven't seen since, I believe, 2011 or 13. One of those years.
Kevin Owens now back into the fight. Cheap shot by Owens.
Well, what do you expect out of this new, this deranged, this lunatic?
Kevin Owens gone! No! Miles Rock gone!
That move has not been seen in the WWE since, I want to say it was 2011. CM Punk pile drive John Cena on Monday Night Raw and got fined and yelled at for it.
So the last time we saw a pile driver that was just part of a match was from Jerry the, like a scheduled pile driver that wasn't a secret, was from Jerry the King Lawler in 2003 on Raw. Wow.
That's a long time. That's how long the move has been banned within the WWE. They didn't make it a part of the story of a storyline to say, oh, by the way, this move is now banned. Behind the scenes and dirt sheets confirmed a long time ago that certain moves were not allowed in the WWE. We saw it even not so long ago with Seth Rollins, where his curb stomp was banned because Vince all of a sudden just didn't like it after WrestleMania 31. So get rid of it. No one is doing that.
I mean, that's fair because it's fucking stupid.
But that's back. So we see Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. They've been having their beef lately because Kevin Owens is very jealous and upset that people like Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton are friends and they've helped Roman Reigns at times. And Kevin Owens can't understand it. So he's been going after these guys. Kevin Owens took out Cody Rhodes not too long ago, took out Randy Orton. They've been kind of going back and forth. Orton called out Kevin Owens this week. Owens came out and they just started getting into it. The backstage handlers and producers and quote unquote security people come out to try to separate them. They do. They get back together. It's a low blow, I believe, by Kevin. And then a pile driver. And Michael Cole and Corey Graves sell it as if the man's been shot in the middle of the ring. They sell it like this is not good. And it goes from there. Randy Orton gets carted off on a stretcher. WWE did a terrible job making it look good because it was the backstage producers that were the ones strapping him to the board compared to just the actual paramedics that came in to, you know, sign him or tag him up and put him on the board and on a stretcher and into the ambulance. Sorry, I got distracted by something there. I apologize. And they've been selling it like this is the most devastating move that they've seen in wrestling in 30 years or whatever it's been, 20 years. And WWE fans are happy with this. They like this storyline. They like that a quote unquote banned move has come into WWE and injured their top guy. And everyone's scared of this move. We haven't seen it. Non-WWE fans are going, we see this move about 6,000 times a week. So why is this a big deal? Guys, what side are you on? Are you on the side of, cool, we got a move that we haven't seen in WWE in a long time, and they're making a really, really big deal about it in the storyline? Or are you going, eh, I see this move all the time?
It's a bad pile driver. It's a bad pile driver. I mean, Randy's a heavy guy. I get it. He's a beefcake. But it's a bad pile driver. To sell it like he's out indefinitely from that, I mean, they're going to watch AEW and be like, I don't know, those guys seem to work week after week.
So my answer is kind of a little
it's a non-answer, but kind of both.
All right.
Because when I'm watching WWE and they hit a pile driver, I'm going to pop for it. But if
you're
I'm
in the know.
But if I'm watching GCW and they hit a pile driver, I'm like, meh, cool. I love pile drivers, so I'm always happy to see them. But I like that WWE is protecting it. I think it's good for them. If they did it in GCW where they just had some dude fall off a ladder through 12 million light tubes and then the dude gets carted out by a pile driver, then yeah, my disbelief is not going to stretch that far. But also, this was one of the weeks where I watched SmackDown on a Saturday morning instead of on a Friday, and I got a spoiler from the weirdest place. So I'd known that the pile driver and Randy Orton had happened before I watched it. And that's because my dad, he woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, turned the TV on, and it was on the same channel he watches the rugby, and SmackDown was on, and he sent me a text saying, oh shit, Randy Orton is being loaded into an ambulance.
Wow.
You're like, thanks, Dad.
And I'm like, great, I'm not watching it till tomorrow. But by the by the time I typed I'm not watching it till tomorrow, he managed to type, which for my dad will take him several years, but he'd managed to type, seems to be some sort of pile driver thing.
And that's a great dad text.
That, you know what? And a lovely dad.
Yeah.
I was like, bruh.
You know I hate spoilers.
If that was my dad out, he would have just went, oh, all right.
He also then managed to watch. He watched the next match.
Oh, got him hooked.
Which was Tommaso Ciampa DIY versus Pretty Deadly.
Oh shit!
And he texted me. He was texting me like, "There's a very angry bald dude and a blonde Leo, not Leo, Orlando Bloom looking motherfucker wearing a pink bra." I was like, "Okay, I think I know who you're talking about." But I got confused because when he said a bald, angry dude, I thought he meant Adam Pearce.
Oh.
So I was like, what's Adam Pearce got to do with one of Pretty Deadly? Anyway, moving on.
Oh, that's great. Tom, I'm with you. In the WWE, I can suspend my disbelief enough to be like, this is a big deal. Mike, I'm kind of with you. That pile driver needed to look more devastating than it was on TV. I think they rushed it and probably got too crowded and they just had to drop and it didn't really connect all that well, but I'm going with it because I think Kevin Owens needs that heel heat. And I want to believe that Kevin Owens is the angriest motherfucker on SmackDown for all the right reasons. And me being a big Cody fan, I understand why.
He said it. We were all thinking it. He just said it.
I understand why Kevin is upset. I understand why Kevin is lashing out. Much like I feel like I need to, but I'm not going to because I'm a professional. I feel that Kevin Owens needs this next level of anger because the fans are turning, but they're also listening very, very well to why he's so upset. And now there's another added layer because now Sami Zayn is helping Roman Reigns,
no
which will,
next week.
I imagine, will push Kevin
every time
over the edge.
Now,
go ahead, Tom.
Sorry. I think the important question for me is, was this a one-time pile driver or is this back now for Kevin Owens?
I want Kevin Owens to kill a few people with this pile driver, but
well, not this specific one.
No, a better one.
Yeah. It needs to be a little more snug.
Because I mean, most people know that Kevin Owens used the package pile driver on the indie scene, and we're never going to see a package pile driver in WWE. But Kevin Owens can spike people with that.
I kind of hope they don't use it for a while. I'm going to give it to the Fed because obviously there's wrestling elsewhere. Tom's a big GCW guy and the crazy shit that happens there. It's just dime a dozen, right? It's almost like they're remolding in-ring storytelling with this kind of thing. And it helps when you have stuff like WWE ID ramping up the way it is too, right? So if it is the case where it's like they worry about the indies getting WWE-ified, yeah, it could. But I think the benefit is strong. First of all, like, social media presence is dynamite. I used to praise AEW for being good across their TV and their social media. WWE nailed this. They nailed the coverage on this. Like, it is so smart that people are picking it up with the injury headline for Randy Orton. Like, that's great. Like, I think it's super smart. Granted, they're going to watch that pile driver and then we're back to basics. But hats off to the booking committee again. Like, this, you're right, makes your heel look devastatingly evil. Mission accomplished. It's going to be a hell of a return for Randy, which is great too. Like, Hunter is, the lines they're blending between social and their TV show is just brilliant. Like, I think it was the best thing that came of it, is just like, man, more eyes again to the casual fan. Cause like, in those spaces, if it be Twitter or Instagram or YouTube, it's huge. It's huge other eyes to the programming, especially gearing up for the Netflix launch. Like, this, I think it's actually really brilliant story-wise as well. I just hate that, like, it looks soft as all hell when you can look at a competitor and be like, I'm pretty sure I watched someone get murdered on another wrestling promotion. You're like, maybe.
I do agree with your assessment of Triple H's kind of molding storytelling now. He's been doing that since he got full control. We're now seeing Monday Night Raws where everything makes sense and everything has a story and there's a backstory, or there's stuff happening in the background of something to keep connecting dots throughout their entire show. Raw and SmackDown are going to 3 hours come January. And to make those shows tolerable, sorry, Mike, to make those shows tolerable, you have to have shows that make sense and connect dots. Both Tom and I had said, even before they went to the 2 hour format, the last, you know, couple months of Monday Night Raw at 3 hours have been very watchable because everything makes sense. There's a story and a reason why people are on TV. So Triple H is doing a great job of molding storylines to fill out an entire show. It's great to see. When it comes to moves, I love it. I love it. It, to me, it's like, okay, cool. Is there any way we can bring back other moves that are devastating from the way they were, like the DDT? The DDT used to be, you hit one, game over. That was it. And that's how it was. Now a DDT is just a move to get to another move. And for the longest time, guys, we could probably say, yeah, they'll never be able to bring it back. They'll never be able to, you know, turn back times to make these moves matter. They just proved that they kind of did. And you kind of can. With the pile driver within WWE. I don't expect anybody outside of WWE to do something like this, to turn things back to protect moves. Is there another move that's not the DDT that you would like to see brought back and being protected to make vicious, to make, if they had to ban it on storyline, that could do that the way that they're selling the pile driver right now?
Not for the reasons you just said, but just because I don't want to fucking see it anymore. Super kick.
I'd be good with that.
You can't, it can never get rewound. That one, it's that and the DDT stuff like that can't. Like, you can't bring it back to square one where it's finishing, guys. It's too late.
Unless you're Shawn Michaels.
Sure. But even then, everyone else is still throwing it.
I would like to see a lariat clothesline be an absolute killer again. JBL does it. He's been killing everyone on the indies with it for quite a while.
He killed people in the Fed with it.
He did, but I think the lariat clothesline should be a finisher if it's a big enough guy and you've got the speed. Like, could you imagine Bron Breakker with the speed that guy runs and then basically taking someone's head off with a lariat clothesline as a finisher? I'd love it.
Are you guys, I review, familiar with a GCW wrestler called One Called Manders?
Mm-mm. No.
He's a farm boy. He uses a lariat as a finisher. And he reminds me of Stan Hansen. He just murders people with that lariat. And it looks great. So I'm with you on that, Scott. I'd like that to come back.
But do you not feel that way about the Rainmaker from Okada? Like, I think it's devastating.
I think that move is ass.
I think it depends on...
I think it's wild.
I think it depends on the mood that Okada's in. So I've seen him kill guys with it, and I've seen him hit it soft as shit and still beat the guys with it. So
I mean, that's got to be the story of every wrestler ever.
True. Yeah, I'm not just throwing Okada under the bus. That does happen with pretty much everybody. But the Rainmaker clothesline is... I've seen it be, he lays it in and it looks great, but it also might be on the other end, Kenny Omega selling the shit out of it too, right?
So. I mean, that you're right. Like there's some athletes who can really make that move look awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hit a Rainmaker on Pac and it's going to look great. You hit a Rainmaker on Braun Strowman.
Yeah, fair. What can you do, right? Like you're just laying down. Like you can't flip your way out of it. It feels, it's weird talking about this pile driver thing because it reminds me of the Tiger Driver situation from AEW with Ospreay, in a way.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think this is, I mean, everyone's just going to assume we shit on AEW because that's what we do, but I think this was done better.
I really like the job that they did with the Tiger Driver. I thought they sold it great, but I just think it was, they brought it back too quickly. Mm-hmm. So that would be my unleash with it, but go ahead.
I think they just rushed it, which is the same as Scott. And like we just said, it's been 20 years since we saw a pile driver in WWE.
Yeah,
they banned the Tiger Driver, and then 4 weeks later or whatever it was, Ospreay's dropping fuckers on their head with it again.
I would like them to. Do you remember back in WCW when Kevin Nash powerbombed the Giant?
Ooh,
and
yes.
Hurt his neck. And then from going forward, because I believe he hurt his neck there. Going forward, they made it into a storyline where Kevin Nash, every time you hit a power bomb on somebody, you're getting fined. And Kevin Nash said, "Fine me, I'm rich as fuck. I don't care." Every week he'd come out and power bomb the ref, the cruiserweights, and every time it was like, "That's $50,000. That's $50,000." I would like to see them do that with the pile driver. If Kevin Owens comes out and interrupts an LWO match or Austin Theory versus Johnny Fucknuts,
I can only hope he does.
You know, it's. Come on, hit a pile driver. Boom, that's 50 grand. Boom, that's, you know, 60 grand. And keep building it up to the point where they've got to address it at some point and get a payoff for it. So I think they're obviously going to do something with it. The pile driver is now the storyline with Kevin and Randy. So, but you can make it fun. I loved watching Kevin Nash come out and powerbomb motherfuckers. It was great.
Yeah. I just want to touch on something Mike mentioned earlier. With the WWE ID things, we've seen a lot of names being thrown around this week. There's some really cool guys and girls from the indies. Just in my opinion, the two to watch, one is Marcus Mathers. I've mentioned him before. Fantastic talent. And the other is Zara Zacher. She is fantastic. To me, she is going to be the breakout star of the names announced so far.
Oh, so they've got the UK Tom stamp of approval.
Yeah.
I like
it. That's a lot. It means a lot.
It does.
I think for them too, it's way smarter to do this ID route than it was. Let's get ex-professional athletes like we've talked about before. This is really going to benefit them so much better in the long run.
I agree. The dirt sheets were kind of contradictive of whether these people under the WWE ID contract could work an AEW show if they needed to come in as enhancement talent. I've seen both sides say, someone say, no, they can't. And I've seen some other sides saying, yeah, WWE's not going to stand their way of, you know, getting work and getting a job. So that I'm curious about. I think I'd be a little bit shocked if I saw someone under the WWE ID contract showing up as a jobber on Ring of Honor or TNA if they needed to. But
I've only heard that there's no restrictions at all.
Okay. Okay. I'm hoping that's right. I would love to just be cool. Go out and work, right?
So it was this weekend. I watched a company that was not GCW, which is quite rare, and it was Defy Wrestling versus DDT from Japan.
Nice.
And they built something on there as the first ever AEW versus WWE match, because they had Nick Wayne versus Jack Cartwheel, who signed to the WWE ID. Hell of a match. It was a lot of fun. It just made me chuckle that they were making such a big deal out of AEW versus WWE.
It
Go ahead.
That's a weird situation. I mean, I don't know what that piece of paper looks like. I don't think any of us do. And what financially you get from having that branding?
You get a paycheck every 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's locked in.
I don't think it's very much, but you get some money from them.
Okay, so if there's some financial stuff there.
That's good.
You'd think they would lock down some kind of clause, unless it's really just to say, like, we're a friend of the indies,
mm-hmm.
which could be the case.
I've heard it similar to like the next in line thing where they'll go to the schools and meet with the athletes and just say, this piece of paper means you talk to us first.
Mm,
cool. When you, I think that's what it is.
Cool. Yeah. No, interesting.
It'll be fun to watch how it plays out. Right. And who ends up where kind of thing, or people are happy or want to get out of the program, whatever it may be. So it'll be fun to watch along. But before we head out, I do want to check back into SmackDown, because we've gotten some major developments in the biggest storyline in WWE in the last 4 or 5 years. Some people are saying this is some of the greatest storytelling WWE has ever done. And I agree with that. The Bloodline storyline is huge. And it's not going anywhere. It's not dying off. It's not, there's no lulls or anything like that. So War Games is coming up, and it looks like it's going to be OG Bloodline versus the new Evil Bloodline. The Evil Bloodline's got who? It's got Solo, it's got Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, and our man Jacob Fatu. So there's four there. On the other side, you've got the original Bloodline, which is Roman Reigns, Jimmy Uso, and Jey Uso. They needed that fourth, and we all know who it is. He was involved with the original Bloodline and Bloodline storyline from pretty much day one. He worked his way in. He earned his keep. And
redacted.
No pizza.
The underdog ground.
Not that anymore. Redacted, though.
That's not been his gimmick for 10 years.
The true Canadian hero.
Bret Hart?
We're not talking about Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens is a heel.
Can't be a hero.
Montreal's pride and joy.
Kevin Owens?
Zane. No.
Jacques Rougeau.
No. Fuck no. Terrible. You guys are killing me here. Come on.
PCO?
Every time the name is said, you bleep it out. It's a lot of work for you.
I don't think I have to do that.
You banned bitch. You'll do what you're told.
I didn't do anything. I defended you.
Enough. Listen, we're not getting back into this. But anyway, the Bloodline story, it is cooking. It's heating up. Not for the reasons that Scott said.
I would have loved to have given the reasons.
Now we don't want to hear it.
All right, give the reasons. I'll free up this time for you to give your reason. Because this is the thing that really heated it up.
So the Usos are bringing back Sami Zayn. Obviously, we saw what happened at Crown Jewel. Sami accidentally kicked Roman in the face at Crown Jewel. We also saw Sami talking to Solo the week before that. So we're here now. Roman calling out the Usos. The Usos bringing out Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn saying, I'm not here for you. I'm here for Jay. Sami saying, you need to apologize. Not to me, but to Jay. The way you talked to him, the way you treated him. I'm only in this for Jay. But being back in the ring with you guys at the Crown Jewel, it made me feel like we were back together. And even again, just for a moment, it was great. It was great television, great storytelling. They go their separate ways. Roman's not apologizing for shit. They come back at the end of the night because the bad Bloodline called out Roman, said, you need to acknowledge Solo as your tribal chief. I love you, Solo. You heard it all. The beatdown happens. The evil OG, or the evil Bloodline, taking down the OG Bloodline. Sami Zayn standing in the entranceway, not sure what to do. Roman won't apologize. Solo calls him out because he's got a limp Roman in his hands.
Remember what he did to you? Come on. Yeah. Oh, Sami with a hello attack to Solo Sikoa.
Here comes Fatu. Fatu upset over that. Once had was special. Well, let's run it back again. It seems like we have a loose alliance of original Bloodline members set to do battle at War Games.
The OG Bloodline is back together, taking down the evil Bloodline. War Games is coming up, but here's the thing. It's 5-on-5, not 4-on-4. So now each side is looking for a new guy. Who joins?
Shocking.
Who joins the OG Bloodline? Who joins the evil Bloodline? Guys,
no.
I don't want 5-on-5. I think
it's going to be 5-on-5.
It's going to be 5-on-5 because we saw on Raw, they're trying to recruit Bron Breakker. They're trying to recruit Seth Rollins. I don't know if I want it. Rey Mysterio, but we're getting 5-on-5. How does this end? Who's the fifth man for each team? Tom?
We know.
Who is it, Tom?
There's going to be Cody Rhodes with Roman and the Usos and Sammy.
No.
And we know who's joining the new evil Bloodline. There's a fucking reason those Vancouver tickets are $12 million. They got to pay Dwayne.
They got to pay Dwayne.
The final boss.
The final boss is, it makes sense. It really does. But Cody, oh.
I agree. It feels forced. It feels.
I prefer Seth to finally say yes.
I'd be okay
because
with that.
He had a good tie-in to it, Mania. Like they have history. It's still like good. Like it's good for storytelling. I really don't want it to be Cody. Let's move Cody forward to this Kevin Owens thing. Get him the fuck away from it. But it's unfortunate if it is the final boss, then it's gonna be Cody.
See, I was leaning towards it's gonna be Cody and Kevin at Survivor Series in just a one-on-one match. Because I don't think you can bring Randy back this quickly if you're going to make that big of a deal of the pile driver. Cody has to come face-to-face with Kevin at some point and have that one-on-one match.
Yeah, it's going to be the Rumble.
Yeah, the Rumble for sure.
They can't. Look, Cody's not going to be in the Rumble this year. Who's he going to work with? They're going to suspend Kevin Owens for using the pile driver.
I don't want that. You've got Survivor Series. You've got Saturday Night's main event. And then you've got from the early December, like December 14th when Saturday Night main event ends, till February 1st when the Rumble is. You can't do that. I hate when they do this where guys are just getting heated up like Kevin Owens is right now and he's suspended. Then he's gone for fucking 6 weeks. Dumb.
Kevin Owens.
Have him beat people up backstage still, showing up at shows. Better Kevin social media presence. You can use them in a different way.
Kevin Owens and Randy Orton will be the main event of Saturday Night's main event.
It's great. It's a great main event. That's an amazing main event.
Okay, yeah. Vince Russo.
I'm good. Guys, I don't know who the fifth member will be.
I think it's got to be Dwayne on that new Bloodline side.
As much as I am a mark for new things, as we all know, never happened. The Rock has never been in War Games. The thing that's going to piss me off is I know he's only going to be in there for 32 seconds.
Sure.
He's going to take 27 minutes to walk down to the ring with his stupid ass new music and his stupid look on his face and then drop someone with run rock bottom, 1-2-3 and get out of there and then get paid $12 million.
Sure.
I haven't put a whole lot of thought into The Rock's participation in this match, but that's exactly what's going to happen. And that's fucking annoying. I don't like it at all.
No.
If you're in War Games, get in there.
Get in number one and get busted open, you fucking large steroid fucking gorilla-looking freak.
You both are going to be rock fucking hard when he gets his music hit, so don't kid yourself.
I mean, like, maybe, but right now it's annoying me.
Guys, let us know your thoughts on the fifth men for each team, what you think of the pile driver, and everything else we've been talking about today. I want to thank everybody.
Except that one thing that we're not allowed to talk about.
Ever. And
I can't fucking wait to shove this up your guys' asses when Sami Zayn becomes the fucking darling of wrestling again and everyone loves him. And then you guys are going to want back on that bandwagon and I'm just going to fucking put my foot on your face. And kick
where have you been
off.
When we said the only place for him is in this Bloodline storyline, not beating the Gunthers of the world, being a fucking accessory. He's the handbag to Roman Reigns. It's like a wristwatch. darling of wrestling. Shut the fuck up.
I will not shut the fuck up. But this has been the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to my house.
To my house. It's my house. Yowie wowie.